Hello and welcome back to Sportsport Podcast, episode 17. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Alejandro.
Today we have news from the NFL and cuts from preseason rosters, as well as the first week of college football, and just more random stuff happening in the NBA and the start of certain seasons in European soccer. So, let's start off with the NFL.
Yeah, so Indianapolis Colts season ticket holders, they reportedly want their money back after Andrew Luck's retirement. You know, things like this happen, and you bought season tickets, and you should probably stick to that.
If you're a true fan, you'd go to the games anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
you're probably not going to win, but you can still go to the games.
And they might still win. Jacoby Brissett's a pretty decent quarterback. I mean, they have a great supporting cast around him.
Yeah.
So
they're not a bad team.
Yeah, they're not bad. Even with Luck out, I mean, they're going to do fine. That just shows kind of the bandwagons that just, like, are there for the win. They're not there for the team. And it's just kind of disappointing. You know, Colts fans, they're just very disappointing the past 2 weeks, ever since it's happened. Booing Luck. Now they don't want to stick with the team after Luck's gone. Colts fans need to get a handle on things. And
yeah, they need to contain themselves.
Yeah, they need to figure it out, because some of these fans are just not there right now. All right. David Andrews, the Patriots center, he has a blood clot. He was hospitalized because of this. Not good at all.
He was seen standing on the sideline with the team, though, in the game the other day. So it's good to see him stable, healthy, and somewhat in good conditions. So
yeah,
that's nice.
It's pretty good that he's back now, but his season is in jeopardy. Probably won't play. The Patriots are preparing for this. They traded for 3 offensive linemen in the past few days. One of them, Russell Bodine from the Bills, who is a center. So they are preparing for that. Him as the possible replacement. Also, Ted Karras, his name has been floated around as kind of a replacement for Andrews, but they're preparing to go without him. Obviously, a big loss. He's probably one of the best linemen on the Patriots. There's a lot of good linemen, but now you're taking that away, and you know Tom needs to get used to someone else's snaps.
And you also really got to trust that Davis Garnacchia is able to pull the offensive line together, and
he definitely can. He's
he's definitely capable of it. He's really good at what he does. So I have faith in him being able to like pull the offensive line together, even with this setback. But it'll be interesting to see how long it takes for them to figure it out.
You know, they still have a bunch of good offensive linemen around that center spot with Shaq Mason and Joe Tooney, Marcus Cannon, guys like that. So hopefully they can get around this, and I definitely think they can, but it's definitely going to be a big hit for them. Patrick Chung, the safety for the Patriots, who was accused of having cocaine in his house, he pleaded not guilty to possession of cocaine. His court date is set for November, so we kind of expected this.
He was away from his house at the time that it happened. I believe it was his lake house on Winnipesaukee up in New Hampshire. And I think there some friends or family or whatever were throwing a party or something like that. And stuff happened. So,
yeah. I'm on Chung's side. I don't think he really did it, but
I don't think he's the type of guy that would do that. He seems like a guy who wouldn't want to jeopardize his career like that,
especially with no offenses prior.
Yeah, he's been super clean, so it doesn't seem logical for that to happen.
Doesn't seem like him at all, really.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is looking to extend his TB12 brand in stores to other major cities, including New York City, LA, San Francisco. This comes after him selling his house and also moving his kids to Manhattan for school. Does this in any way seem like he's looking to move on to another city and play football somewhere else?
No, I do not think he's going to play football somewhere else. Sure, maybe when he retires, he will move somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He did grow up in California, so it makes sense for LA and San Francisco.
Yes.
So I understand that. I understand wanting to brand and stuff like that. And I understand maybe wanting to live somewhere else, try something new, because you've been in New England in the most random, weird weather system ever for, 20 years?
20th season is what he's going to, so yes.
Yeah, so around like there. 20 years. It's it's rough. So I completely understand him looking at what he would want to do outside of retirement, trying to settle in before he has to actually move there, get acquainted with the certain cities that he would be looking at. But I do not think he's going to play with any other teams.
Yeah, I don't really see him playing with any other teams. But if the Patriots don't re-sign him, which right now it's kind of looking shaky with the non-extension, really, and just all that happening, I can see him playing somewhere else because I think he's going to play next year. He definitely wants to play in the future. So if the Patriots aren't going to – they don't want him back or something like that, I can see him going to another city.
I just don't see it
as a big possibility necessarily.
I don't see Tom Brady as the type of guy who would, like, do that. I also don't see Bill Belichick as the type of person who would let Tom Brady go somewhere else with that amount of knowledge of his entire, like, game plan. Like,
true.
He knows that entire book by heart.
Mm.
Like, the back of his hand, probably. It's just wouldn't make sense why we would let him go. I think we're going to have him until he retires because he seems
– I would totally agree with that.
If he was going to leave, I think he would have done it 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm.
I think he's content playing in New England. I think he'll retire here. We just don't know how much longer he's going to be here.
Yeah, kind of an interesting situation going on there, really, with all the stuff. It's going to be an interesting offseason next year, so can't wait for that one. The Patriots, they trade Duke Dawson in a 7th-round pick for a 6th-round pick from the Broncos. Duke Dawson going to the Broncos. Duke Dawson, a former 2nd-round pick, injured all of last season and only played 4 preseason games, and Patriots give up on him right then there and give up all that for just a 6th-round pick. So just bad move there by Belichick, really.
Yeah, he's kind of just going ham today with – trades, cuts, like Demaryius Thomas was released from the Patriots after having 87 yards and two touchdowns
in the preseason, where he only played pretty much 1 quarter.
And yeah, he played like not at all. So he's proving that he's able to do what he was able to do when he was
given
young.
A $5 million contract for 1 year. The injuries, I guess, is what kind of shaking him off, but
he's still a top, really good wide receiver,
and he showed it in the preseason game.
Yeah,
he can still be really effective, and I don't know what you're doing by letting him go.
Like,
I mean,
if you're gonna let him
really
go,
good
at
wide
least
receiver core.
If you're gonna let him go, at least trade him and get something back for it. I just don't understand.
I don't understand it at all. It's just kind of, I don't know what Bill's doing here.
I don't think anyone in New England that's a fan understands the move.
I just don't see
at this point in time.
Yeah, I don't see what's happening. It's just, I don't know, really. It's just confusing, obviously. Belichick needs to figure out what he's doing because that's just shortening your wide receiver core to like Edelman and Dorsett and a few other guys. There's just really not a lot of meat there anymore. Josh Gordon also coming off of a suspension, but he's always questionable as if he's going to play or not during the season because he has that kind of drug problem. We don't know if that's going to come back.
He did have that reception, though, or a couple receptions in the preseason. Was looking pretty good.
He had a lot of targets and only a few catches, though, which kind of concerned me. But
yeah, but I mean, he did catch his first target, so I think he'll be just fine. Especially when it's Tom Brady throwing to him. So, I'm confident.
Rob Gronkowski was in the news line this weekend. He talked to reporters in New York, I believe. He's endorsing a new type of product with another company. And he did a press conference. And he talked a lot about why he left football and how the toll it left on him. And he said he was losing joy in life, kind of like how Andrew Luck was after all these injuries.
Very similar to Andrew Luck. Just injuries can tear you apart. Mm. So it's so hard to come back from them, and it's such a
it's such
a big workload, and it's a painful sport, and it's a lot of pain you get put through, and it's just I can understand why it would be kind of tormenting to continue going through like injuries every year that were really painful.
Especially Gronk with all the back injuries that he's had and just keep going. And he gets hit so much because it takes so much to take him down. So you're getting hit even harder.
Yeah, you get put, you get hit so progressively harder because it's so much more difficult to take him down because he's so big.
So he's just a big target, and during his career, he just got hit so much, and it's just really rough. And I hope he enjoys retirement, but after doing that, playing football and getting hit so much, I can see how you can lose joy in life with all those injuries because it just hurts you so much inside.
I think he'll enjoy his retirement.
I think he will.
I think he's the type of guy to have a fun time.
I think something like that, like if I do see him come back, there's people that would be, a lot of people that would be excited. I'd be kind of concerned, obviously, because I think him saying this right now.
After this statement, I think there's literally no chance of him coming back.
Yeah, I don't want him to really come back because I don't want him to hurt himself.
Yeah. At all.
I think he should do what's best for him, and what's best for him is to stay out of football right now. So, yeah. Cardinals wide receiver, rookie wide receiver Hakeem Butler, he's on IR with a hand injury. His season is over before it even started, his rookie season over. He looked like a pretty good wide receiver coming out. Cardinals have pretty good wideouts, so hopefully they do okay, but, you know, he's not there anymore. Jadeveon Clowney was the big news of the day today and of this week. He met with the Dolphins and then reportedly didn't want to go there and pretty much forced his way out of a trade there. Instead, today he got traded to the Seahawks for a third-round pick, Barkevious Mingo, and another defensive player. Just really cheap price for Clowney for the Texans.
The Texans... Okay, so in my mind, no one really won this trade.
Yeah, nobody did.
When you look at the trade aspects and what they gave up for him, you would think, oh, the Seahawks won the trade. But the Seahawks' financial situation is not good. They're going to lose his
contract.
Yeah, and he's going to ask for a lot of money. Russell Wilson's going to ask for a lot of money. So your cap space is destroyed.
Pretty dead.
And they spent way too much money on some, like, third string, second string wide receivers as well. And they're now cutting a lot of starting tier wide receivers to make space for this signing.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Seahawks too, because they need to improve their O-line and stuff. Their defense is kind of, they're not really contenders in my mind.
Yeah,
they're
so just kind of broken sense
in a lot of places. And Jadeveon, he's a great player, but he's got to take up so much cap because what he wants is the big contract. So they're going to have to give it to him, obviously.
Yeah.
And now that your cap is pretty much dead, you have no more room to do anything else, and you have to cut players, so you're cutting good players to get him on the roster. I don't think he's going to make that big of a difference. I think the team's going to regress this year.
I think possibly what might be happening and why they might be doing this is Russell Wilson might be putting on pressure, like, you only have me for this amount of time, and if you're not making moves to start getting back to the Super Bowl where we used to be, then I'm going to, like, request a trade or something like that. Mm. Or maybe they just feel that after Russell Wilson, they don't really have much after him, so, and they don't really have faith in their draft or something like that. So maybe they just feel they owe it to Russell Wilson to try and build something really good.
I think they're trying to. They're trying to keep their fans there, obviously. And I don't see it working out. I think the Seahawks are just not going to have a good season this year.
It
doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like a great season for them, but I'd like to see how they somewhat try and recover from this.
Antonio Brown, he says he was never friends with Ben Roethlisberger after Roethlisberger made comments saying that some of the stuff that Brown did last season ruined friendship. This stuff has been going on for a pretty long time. Antonio Brown not liking Ben Roethlisberger a lot lately.
And he didn't really seem to get along with him too much when they were playing together either. So it doesn't surprise me that he says that, but he's just so dramatic and it just,
I think they were probably friends. He just wants to.
Yeah. Antonio Brown's probably just friends at one point. Right now, and then so I think the last 3 years of him at the Steelers, it probably started to break down from there.
Yeah. I don't know. Antonio Brown's just kind of weird. He needs to stop talking.
Yeah.
Overall, just to save himself, because right now people are just seeing him as a
clown,
especially with the helmet stuff. And now this, it's just like, just move on. You're off the team. Move on, play football and win games for the Raiders. That's
just focus on playing your game. Like, just what makes most like professional players good is they're able to block out the people that say bad things about them, and that's why they're or they just use it to push them harder.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown just feeds into the media and all the negativity,
and it's kind of
and just makes it worse, and it's just tearing him apart and tearing his locker room with his team
and
apart
his reputation.
As well. Yeah.
A shocking cut today was LeSean McCoy. He got cut from the Buffalo Bills. Other running backs on that roster are Frank Gore, and they also drafted a rookie running back this year too. So maybe making room for him. Frank Gore is also there, so I would think Frank Gore would be the cut, but McCoy kind of regressed a little bit last season.
Still a good running back.
Yeah, still
so
a good
it doesn't,
running back.
I think he'll find a home on some NFL roster somewhere, but it just probably won't be many touches.
Yeah. Maybe a backup running back role as he's kind of getting older now.
Yeah.
The Chargers reportedly have given Melvin Gordon permission to seek a trade after not giving him that permission for a very long time, hoping that he would sign, but apparently that's not working, and now they're looking at trades. It's good for Melvin Gordon for this and the Chargers just to kind of get him
kind of unfortunate for the Chargers because they were looking like they were going to have a good season. Then they just get rattled with injuries, this whole situation with Melvin Gordon. And you got to feel bad for Phillip Rivers as he's starting to decline a little, getting his last couple seasons as a player in the NFL. So, and he's a really good quarterback, so you just hate to see him
go out. His championship window is closing.
His window to get a ring is just closing.
Players that are key to that. And, you know, it's just rough, but it will be interesting to see where he goes. I think he probably will get traded now, but
yeah.
Good for fantasy owners now. Melvin Gordon finally back. So, yeah. Now on to college football. It was officially week one this week for college football. Alabama had four starters for the first half versus Duke, which was this game. They were all suspended. Alabama starting linebacker Dylan Moses also tore his ACL. So a lot of players.
Not looking like a good start for Bama.
Yeah, so that's five starters pretty much out against Duke. And Duke versus Bama is on right now. Duke was only down 14-3 in the first half against Bama. Bama was not doing good at all. Fumbles and punts in their first three drives and a missed field goal. And they just weren't looking good at all. You know, Bama never really has too hard of a schedule besides for their in-conference opponents. And I think they're just not trying as much. But I think the five stars definitely factors into that. If they do play a close game with Duke, I think people start to doubt what Bama can do despite the five starters that are out. It's just, you know, they should be top of the line. Even without the five starters, you know, you're playing a basketball school in Duke. They should definitely win this game.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see why they would play it close with them. So,
yeah.
Miami offensive coordinator Dan Enos, he's very disappointed in Jaren Williams after the Florida loss. Not really sure why. Probably just through getting the ball off. And obviously, there's a lot of delay of games and things like that. So that's why I would be somewhat disappointed and also happy at the same time for him because Jaren Williams played a great game despite those things. And, you know, you just got to be supportive of him. But he is also telling him what's wrong and stuff. And I think that's the coaching that Miami needs. They need to be hard-nosed against their players and make them know what they've done wrong and fit to those things. And in the next game, get them to do other stuff. Oregon State wide receiver Champ Flemings, he is 5'5", 141 pounds. He will start at wide receiver this year for Oregon State in the Pac-12.
Haven't really seen much from him, but
me either.
You got to assume he's really fast, really quick at changing directions, changing speeds, and he's probably got some really good hands to be able to play at this level with that size. So
to play D1 football in the Pac-12 and be 5'5", 141 is pretty
impressive. Yeah.
I am definitely rooting for him. Just very amazing
cool
that you do that. Pretty pretty fragile slot wide receiver, possibly, I would say.
Yeah. But
definitely probably has a lot of speed, so be interesting to see. if this dude ever makes the NFL, someday that'd be a sight to see.
That would be pretty interesting.
Georgia Tech, they're now playing a pro-style offense. They're used to the triple option offense. And now they're throwing a bunch of players that are used to doing that and putting them in a pro-style offense where they're going downfield for catches and just playing pro-style. So that didn't work out very well as they lost to Clemson pretty bad. Clemson put up like 56, I'm pretty sure. So it didn't really work out. But if they go up against some teams their own size, maybe they might win. But not looking good for Georgia Tech. The University of Central Florida, they beat Florida A&M 62-0. You know, Florida A&M, FCS team, so they suck.
Yeah.
Brandon Wimbush, the transfer from Notre Dame, he threw for 168 yards and 2 touchdowns, pretty much taken out of the game because Florida A&M, and, you know, they just need to get the early lead, and then they're pretty much solid. Just a okay performance from Wimbush. We can't really judge this that much. He needs to go up against a real team in the American Conference, and then we can judge that. But overall, it's just a good starting point for Wimbush, who struggled at Notre Dame at points, and now is the UCF starter, which is one of the best programs in the country probably right now. So hopefully he does all right there. Wisconsin beat University of South Florida 49-0. Jonathan Taylor, Heisman candidate, ran for 135 yards, also had 4 touchdowns. Do you think he can possibly win the Heisman now? You know, Jonathan Taylor's been in the conversation for so long, but quarterbacks have overshadowed him despite his amazing numbers.
Yeah.
I definitely think he can make it into the Heisman race. I definitely think he's the leader right now. As Trevor Lawrence, he struggled for Clemson with 2 interceptions. Not a horrible game for him, but you know, Jonathan Taylor just looks amazing. Great win for Wisconsin. USF is usually a pretty good game, but they put the hammer down on them and let them score 0 points, but 49 up. Jonathan Taylor, pretty much their whole entire offense. I mean, it's just crazy. People debating college football's best running backs, and they're saying Jonathan Taylor's second sometimes to Travis Etienne. I think they're just crazy. I mean, you look at Jonathan Taylor's numbers, it's just crazy. He's leading Wisconsin pretty much to everything. So I don't see why he shouldn't be the best running back in college football. Florida State blew an 18-point lead to Boise State today. They lost 36-31. Botchmeyer, the quarterback for Boise State, put up 407 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He had like 50 passing attempts, which is crazy. James Blackman had 327 yards and 3 touchdowns, a pretty good performance for him, but Florida State chokes because they're Florida State. Willie Taggart definitely should be fired, and I don't, you know, Florida State needs to get their act together. Boise State is an okay team, but they shouldn't let them come back from 18 points down, so it's a bad game. Maryland, they beat Howard University 79-0. That shows how bad the FCS is. You know, Maryland, not even top 25 program, and I think this shows a flaw in schedules, and I really think they should get rid of these FCS games. I mean, at least put a good FCS team like James Madison in for Howard University, which is trash. So, yeah.
Yeah, moving on to the NBA. All right. So Caris LeVert signed a 3-year deal for $52.5 million. Pretty good extension for the Nets. They actually got him for a lot cheaper than I was expecting them to. So a really good deal for the Nets. Caris LeVert, quality player.
Yeah, I think this is a great deal for the Nets because he was entering restricted free agency next season. And there was I think there was a pretty good chance he would probably gonna leave because there would be a market for him because he was a leading scorer before he got injured. Like he just scored more than D'Lo before they got injured. And he's a nice piece, and I think it's a really good contract for the Nets.
Yeah, and Andre Drummond says he's excited about free agency. So
yeah, he did walk back the comments saying, like he's just it's his first time in free agency, so he's excited about that, but he still loves Detroit.
I think he's going to leave.
I think he's probably going
to
leave.
He's too good of a player to be rotting in Detroit where they do nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
it was probably the least active NBA team in the offseason.
Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond is a good combo, but I don't see it winning championships, and I don't think Drummond sees it winning championships either and probably exit in free agency. And I don't think Detroit really, unless they have a good season this year, will really see anything in re-signing Drummond in the first place, especially to what he's going to want, which is a max contract. And, you know, I think he shouldn't walk back the comments. Just say he's excited and just leave it.
Yeah, and he's in a small market too, because finding big men like him that are more like defensive minded, inside of the paint minded.
Yeah, more classic.
They're a lot like the old days. Very rare. Very rare to find in today's game. It's good to see though, because it's kind of boring to have the same thing all the time. So, yeah, we'll see where he ends up landing. Probably somewhere that is in need of a
center
that has a lot of money. So,
yeah. And rebounding. Also, Andre Drummond, very good at rebounding.
Very good rebounder.
Probably the best.
He probably averages like 18.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Enes Kanter says Kemba Walker is a better player than Kyrie Irving. He made a statement that while he was on the Trailblazers, I believe, that he could just feel when he played against the Celtics, that when they had Kyrie, that something was off with them. The chemistry wasn't there. And that he thinks Kemba is
a better fit.
The Celtics play style with ball movement and swinging around, not just having one player drive and kick.
Obviously, Enes Kanter likes to say a lot of stuff.
Enes Kanter is a very entertaining personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this case, I'm pretty sure he just meant for like the fit and style of the Celtics and the role that they're given the point guards. Because most would tell you that he isn't a better player necessarily. He's just a better fit and for the Celtics team.
Mm-hmm. I think Kemba is close to on par with Kyrie.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he's a great player. He really didn't get to show how good he is because he's
never been
Charlotte.
Yeah, he's never had a good supporting cast of them. So I'm really excited to see how he performs with players that are actually capable.
Yeah. He gets the opportunity to show how good he is with the Celtics this year.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he will do good.
And
Knicks rookie RJ Barrett signs a shoe deal with Puma.
So that's
a big billboard in New York.
Yeah.
That's actually it's pretty exciting to see. Puma's really building their reputation in the basketball industry.
Trying to get their
brand up and with players like Terry Rozier, Danny Green, and DeMarcus Cousins, who's I don't even know.
More reports on him later.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good sign for Puma. I like what they're doing with the shoe market, always get like giving more options. I think it's interesting. And good deal to take more young talents. They also got people like Kevin Knox and other young talents. So I like what they're doing with their people.
Yeah, I think it's a big move for Puma. Getting a young star now, he can possibly turn into a really, really good player. So just going out and getting those rookies in, it's a good sign for them.
Yeah.
And it shows other players too, coming out of college now, that there's more than just Nike, Adidas.
Yeah.
And like Under Armour,
yeah.
There's like Puma and all those other brands.
And really, the main brand was was Nike, and Adidas was really in their shadow. But Adidas is really building up their name too, starting to put a lot more pressure on Nike to come out with better shoes. Especially with players like Donovan Mitchell, he has some nice shoes that he just got.
Having a competitive market's always good. So
yeah, it's nice to see.
Better for the shoe brand.
Yeah, and for the consumers usually.
Mm.
Anyway, Melo scrimmaging with the Knicks, although it was reported to not look too deeply into it, especially because their roster is already full.
And there's also reports from the Nets that Kevin Durant and Kyrie want the Nets to sign Melo and are really pushing the front office to do so. Not really sure why.
Yeah. Seems like a KD
and
Kyrie
thing
to say.
It does seem like a KD and Kyrie thing to team up on the front office and try and leverage them to signing someone. But, yeah.
Just concerning.
Yeah, so we're going to come back with more NBA news and some stuff from the MLB and soccer world as well. We're back with more NBA news. where Nets player Wilson Chandler is facing a 25-game suspension from the NBA for PEDs.
Yeah, it's really something that you don't normally see come down. And, yeah. Billy has an excited face. I want to know why.
Yeah, so kind of breaking news a little bit. The Houston Texans have traded two first-round picks to the Miami Dolphins for offensive lineman Laremy Tunsil and possible Pro Bowl-level wide receiver Kenny Stills.
Oh, so that's
big trade.
That's a pretty big boy blockbuster trade. Kenny Stills is a very talented wide receiver, and be interesting to see him with Deshaun Watson as well.
Yeah. Houston gets rid of Jadeveon Clowney and two first-round picks today, which is very concerning. But now you get Jadeveon Clowney off the books, and you have more room for Kenny Stills and Laremy Tunsil, who are both very, very good players. And now you got DeAndre Hopkins and Kenny Stills in the same offense, which is very dangerous. All right, now back to NBA. That's just
crazy. back to the NBA. So the NBA seems to really be not messing around with PED violations. So it's good to see.
I think they could have done more, honestly, because they don't have many. And this is an example. And
only 25 games is like a fourth of, more than 25% of the season, though.
So you don't see a lot of PED suspensions in the NBA either.
Yeah, you don't really see a lot of that happening, but.
Yeah.
So DeMarcus Cousins. So first he tore his ACL, and now there's a warrant for his arrest out because of apparent threats towards his ex-wife or girlfriend for not letting their child come to his wedding with a different woman. So that's not something you want to see.
Not good. Kind of felt bad for him for a little bit too. Now it's just
I felt bad for him because the ACL injury, and now he just kind of just
he blew it.
He did boogie things. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
Lakers mentality.
Yeah.
Just more like issues. There's just more issues and drama for the Lakers, which they don't really need, but. I mean, it happened, and
it's happened.
Yeah, it happened, and that's a thing.
Boogie needs to choose his words more wisely.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith apparently turned down a $1.6 million offer from a Chinese league team. He's still a free agent. I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't been
picked up
by someone, say, like, the Magic or something like that.
Or some like other borderline contending team.
Just someone who's looking for a quality defender and probably just a personality to lighten up your locker room, because who doesn't love J.R. Smith?
Yeah. I just, now that he's slid so far in free agency, I think there's just not a market for him anymore, despite his talent, which I think is there. So I think he should have took this.
I think what he might do is he looks for a league that no other NBA player is in at this time, that's somewhat in a habitable location. And yeah. And gets a big deal with more money than he would be able to get from other teams, and really turns into the face of a franchise superstar in a certain league, and just has fun.
Well, it made sense to reject this offer, because were he to get any NBA offer, the veteran minimum is $2.1 million, so it'd make no sense to take less than that. If you still have hopes of signing with an NBA team, because the minimum is more than that. So.
And a good point also is that if he can't get that, he can probably just sign into a foreign league, because there's going to be demand for him. So he can possibly take it.
He can probably get
$1.6 million deal if he can't get that deal going into the season.
He could probably get up to $3 million from a team if he really wants to.
Yeah. Now on to the MLB. Rival execs think the Cubs will listen to third baseman Chris Bryant offers in the offseason.
Bryant is a very talented third baseman, pretty good at
Yes. And the Cubs
offense
are also,
and defense, very well-rounded player.
the Cubs are in the playoff race. They're 73-62.
They have been overtaken. Chris Bryant's the best player. Yeah, they've been arguably. They've been overtaken by the Cardinals in their division race, and they're in a really interesting place because they have talented players everywhere, but they don't see set on our direction right now because they're not first in their division. Or even though
they have the talent to do it,
and they have expectations to do so. So it'll be interesting if they trade him. I don't think they should, though.
I don't think they should either. I think he's probably one of the best players on the roster.
Because if you look at the rest of the team, it's young, and all they need is more pitching help.
Mm.
Because at first base, Rizzo's only like 26, Baez is only like 27, and then so they have a really good roster.
They have a pretty good team, and you just want to maintain that. So I don't think trading him would be.
I don't think they have a reason to trade him, especially when they are in such a good position right now.
And you'd think if you traded him, you would probably get a lesser talent if you were to trade him for another player that you're looking to use in the immediately.
Because there's many players to replace Chris Bryant that are Chris Bryant level.
Yeah. Instead of they could go the prospect package type of route that a lot of people
do. But that
wouldn't be beneficial for them.
Yeah, because rest of their team is in win now mode.
Yeah,
they're definitely a win now team. Not really a type of team that would be looking at prospects.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense that they would be listening to offers for him.
Maybe a really good pitcher or awesome outfield help, but that it'd have to be really good players.
It would have to be like
also trading.
It would have to be at least two pretty decent players.
Yeah.
Like one pretty good pitcher that could help their bullpen and a field player like an outfielder or something like that to help them out there.
Yeah, it'd take a lot.
The Tampa Bay Royals sold for
Kansas City.
This is why I don't talk with baseball segments, people. This is why I don't do this.
Kansas City Royals got sold for $1 billion to a local Kansas City businessman.
Ooh, yeah, selling his own money in the Kansas City community is a good move, I think, and them buying it clearly shows that they have intention to better the team and go in a winning direction. I think they have some nice pieces with like Merrifield and Soler.
They're in rebuild mode right now.
Yeah.
They got a few prospects.
Yeah, they have a nice few pieces to probably maybe trade them and get more prospects and go in that direction.
Yeah, just, you know, it shows that baseball is still marketable, obviously.
They're one of the smaller teams and they still got $1 million.
Still a lot of money. They're still worth a lot of money in the MLB, and you know it's good to see to preserve the game of baseball.
So on to European soccer. Borussia Dortmund choked what would seem to be a very easy game for them. They played Union Berlin and ended up losing 3-1, and that is Union Berlin's first ever win in the Bundesliga.
They just recently got promoted this season, and so this is a game that Dortmund should easily take if they're really going for that title, and it's disappointing.
Losing this game is something that could probably come back at the end of the season and cost them the title.
Yeah.
It's just...
if you're against Bayern, if you're trying to beat them, it's going to come down to every last point. And to be a title contender, all people discount.
Not only to drop
games,
points,
to lose
points.
Yeah.
Like, not even get any. It's just got to be heartbreaking for Dortmund players.
Yeah. Especially because, I mean, all people like discount the games that the bigger teams win against them, but they're games that you should and need to win if you're really in the title race. And these are crucial points that Dortmund should have taken.
Yeah, especially with players like Jadon Sancho.
Yeah.
You really
Michael Royce and others. Yeah.
He probably starts questioning his future if he wants to continue with his team or if he wants to get a transfer somewhere else.
He's probably going to transfer anyway.
Most likely he was going to transfer anyway, but losing a game like this probably gives him more reason to go somewhere else, gives him more leverage. Like, why would I want to stay with a team that just lost to a team that's never won a game in the first league?
Well, a lot of teams do that, but I get what you mean.
Like, it happens, but it's just more reason for him to go somewhere else, go to a more successful team.
Yeah.
Just Well, because he's
just for the
really
average fan,
quality player.
This Dortmund team does have a chance to win the title, which would be great for the German league. We haven't seen a different champion in like 8 years, which is sad.
It's been a very long time since someone other than Bayern won the league, which is kind of sad because you like to see a good competition with more than two teams.
And because the league is good, like the fans are great, and so they deserve more than one team win every single season.
And a good percentage of the years that Bayern won, Dortmund weren't even that close. Like last year, it was really close.
Yeah.
It was a good race, but seeing like
they're
in the Premier
League, but they're back by like more than 10 by more than 10 points.
But like seeing in the Premier League where it's such a race in the top, or it was like Liverpool and Man City battling for the one position, and then there's like another 4 to 6 teams battling for the Champions League, the
spots,
and four Champions spots. So it's just it's a really entertaining battle between a very diverse league instead of the Bundesliga where it's really just one-sided.
Yeah. Going over the Premier League, Liverpool went 3-0 win, had them a dominating 3-0 win against Burnley. This is one of those games that we said, like with Dortmund, a game that title contenders should win, and they did. The first goal was a funny goal from Trent Alexander-Arnold. He tried crossing something in from the right side. It deflected off a defender and just looped into the goal somehow. It was a really funny goal, just if you care. And then it was a really good team game, especially because a lot of these smaller teams, they try to like defend, like park the bus, go back, and then try to like,
counter.
Yeah, try to be like physical with you and play a lot of defense. So breaking them open and waiting for nothing is a good game.
Yeah. Definitely the type of result Liverpool would expect from a game like this, and definitely something they would want and need going up against a side like Man City for the title race yet again. So can't wait to see that race.
As you can tell, it's already going to be a tight race because Man City also won 4-0 against Brighton, Hoven Albion.
And you're starting to think this might be a year where it has to do where like goal differential might come into play for a Champions League spot, and it could be something like that. Super heartbreaking for one team, super exciting for the other team, and super exciting for all the fans involved.
Yeah, this is also Liverpool's 13th consecutive win in the Premier League. They obviously came back last season, which is has the club record for wins consecutively in the Premier League. This is a special Liverpool side. And against the other special Man City side, this could be another really interesting title season.
Yeah, and Juventus against Napoli. What an entertaining game this was.
Arguably the best two teams in Italy. Usually goes to Juve. I'm hoping that Napoli, just like in that same Bayern situation, can upset them in some way.
And they almost did. They really were playing well. They went down 3-0. And Ronaldo scored that third goal in the 61st minute.
Danilo scored first, and Higuain had a nice move to score the second goal.
Yeah, Higuain had a beautiful turn against Koulibaly, who's arguably one of the best center backs in the world.
Yeah, especially
and Koulibaly really struggled this game.
Yeah,
and
they come back.
You hate to see it because
he's
honestly, I was surprised to see that he wanted to stay at Napoli instead of going somewhere else where he has more chances of winning more hardware. But it's a respectable move. He's the captain of a pretty solid team, but it's just Juventus always.
Well, the most solid offer for Man United, you don't want to go there.
Yeah,
so. But hopefully it's another offer from another team.
It was kind of surprising there was such a small market for him.
Defenders
are becoming more and more valuable.
They ask for a lot of money.
Well, obviously, he's probably second best to Van Dijk.
He's up there, definitely. No, I don't know about that. Yeah, I mean, maybe. They went back to 3-0. One of the goals was by Mexican like young star Lozano, and it's a really interesting game. They came back 81st minute to score that goal, and then but then lost on a set piece, which ended in Koulibaly picking the ball in his own net.
Yeah, they really did a good job coming back to equalize it at 3-3. It was they were 3 minutes of added time. It was in like the 91st minute.
Yeah,
and it was a beautiful ball in from Joao Cancelo, I think.
I think it was, it's probably Cancelo or Pjanic.
I'm pretty sure it was one of the two. And then he hits a low-driven ball in. It was a beautiful pass to anyone who could have got their head to it. It was just what you wanted, as you would expect from a player like him. Koulibaly goes up to do an acrobatic clearance and goes to really just volley it, probably just hit it into the air.
Yeah.
And he ends up volleying it top right into his own net. It would have been a sick goal if it was his, if it was in the right net.
Yeah.
But like, it just, you hate to see it from a player like him. He was really, you could tell right after he was really heartbroken with that happening. Mm. You hate to see that happen to a player like him. But
yeah,
it was just a really entertaining game.
And at this point, Napoli's defense is looking suspect because they've scored 7 in early goals, but they've also conceded 7. It's definitely something they need to shore up.
Yeah, Koulibaly is definitely needs to show up like he did last year,
yeah,
become the big towering center back that they need.
Yeah,
and
but they were demanding such great fees for.
Yeah, he needs to turn into what the asking price for him was.
Mm-hmm.
Really prove that he's worth that money, so maybe he can go somewhere else on that big of a transfer fee and
so
find some.
Back room. back to the Neymar transfer saga. Barcelona, two contradicting reports, Barca were confident on Neymar, then later.
Literally like 3 hours later,
yeah.
Barcelona pull out of their Neymar bid.
Thinking that's nearly impossible, and I agree with
that. I think PSG were asking for $120 million plus 3 players.
I think it was Dembele, Umtiti, and someone else.
All starting caliber players, especially through this injury set that Barcelona is going through. So it was just a really odd and unrealistic transfer saga with Neymar. Like every other second you're getting a notification, Neymar to Barcelona confirmed. Like there were so many reports that it was confirmed, it was going through. And then
happen,
like
yeah,
half an hour later you get a report PSG did not rejected Barcelona's offer of, their asking price for money and I think 2 players.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense if you're from Barcelona because they bought Dembele, who's still really talented. He doesn't get much playing time, but he's still really talented.
And
they
definitely
him
someone
replace,
you would want.
Yeah, they bought him to replace Neymar for $120 million in and of himself. So you wouldn't want to give him up as part of that.
Yeah. And
that,
really,
I
think they were probably, like, the total value of the players and the transfer is probably near 400, 500 million euros.
Yeah, because they had 400 million.
Dembele is probably worth 100. Dembele is probably worth what? Like
120 is what they got for him.
And I think he's probably worth 150 now because he's definitely proven himself there.
No.
Well, not really.
He's
but
been,
in the,
he's been
in the games
bunch.
He's
let's
played,
like
he has performed.
Let's say 100.
Okay, let's say 100.
And that's 200. Then Umtiti's a good defender, so it's like 60 million. That's
yeah,
like
he's 260 quality center back.
Million.
That's at least 260
yeah.
million. And what did they sell him to PSG
220.
For?
220.
They sold him to PSG for 220.
That kind of makes sense.
So it makes sense if you're PSG trying to get a profit back from it so that you're not losing money
well,
in that
I don't
deal.
Know if he's worth that much. He's been injured a bunch.
But
he
really isn't the level. Yeah, he's not the level player that he was when he was with Barcelona for that stint when it was Messi, Suarez, and Neymar,
yeah,
which was a beautiful trio. And it was just, he wants to leave. He's not
That's
worth
selfish.
The same amount of money.
I don't get why.
It was very selfish on the part of PSG because he could pull like some random thing and hold out because he's the type of player that would do that, just like some of the
probably,
NFL players are.
I can see him doing that.
I really would not be surprised if Neymar just refuses to play for some of the games because he doesn't want to risk an injury and he just wanted to leave. And that would be really unfortunate for PSG as they are very talented. I mean, it's not like they're not going to win Liga 1 anyway, but
yeah,
well, they definitely
PSG,
want to challenge
yeah,
for the
PSG's
Champions
asking
League.
For like FIFA type stuff. Like,
yeah, they want to go for like Champions League. They're in a tough group this year too with Real Madrid. Although PSG are favored to win that group
not
with
shockingly.
Real Madrid, not shockingly because Real Madrid have just been
have chemistry issues and half their squad is injured.
It's just ridiculous. And
yeah,
I don't know.
More Barca news. Their 16-year-old wonder kid, Ansu Fati, scored his first goal of the season against Osasuna off the bench.
Yeah, he scored a pretty good header. I think it was
yeah.
off a corner. And
yeah.
It was a impressive header. Did a really good job connecting his head with the ball. And really promising young player for Barcelona. not sure if he came through their academy or if he transferred.
Yeah,
it's always nice to see when someone's with them for so long as like a child and they come through as
I don't know how long he's been there, but he definitely went through some of their academies playing for Barca B, and then they just called him up.
Well, you can't call him up to the A team until he's 16 anyway. So yeah. I think on his 16th, they're like, all right, we're ready to pull you up. Yeah. You're definitely talented enough. So it's good to see a young player like him do that. You always love to see who could be replacing Ronaldo and Messi after they retire. Obviously, Mbappe's in that conversation, obviously, as well.
But
so it's always good to see more young talent
in their club.
You love to see more young talent to fill in for the gaps of Ronaldo and Messi because they're pretty irreplaceable.
I mean, Barca's youth academy is obviously really famed, so seeing another player out there is special. Obviously, they have big expectations for him, and you just hope as a soccer fan that he doesn't
crumble under the pressure.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of pressure being young.
Yeah, the last player who was 16, Bohan, who fizzled out, went to Stoke and is now in the MLS.
Yeah.
So you just hope that
you just hope they don't put too much pressure on him. That you let him develop naturally. Don't force him through stuff. Just let him develop. He's still just a kid. He's 16 years old. So you can't expect the world from him. But it's definitely understandable to have expectations, set goals. That's always healthy. Something to drive for. Something to work hard for. But you definitely don't want to overwork him because you definitely don't want someone with that type of talent getting injured, and you never know what could have happened with him if he didn't.
Yeah, the goal made him the youngest goal scorer, although despite the goal, they only tied 2-2 due to a late penalty for Osasuna.
Barcelona is obviously – they think that the Neymar transfer is impossible, which we pretty much figured out a while ago. Because PSG just were not budging. We already really discussed that. Inter Milan signed Alexis Sanchez on a one-year loan.
This makes sense. I don't know. Yeah.
Alexis Sanchez really wasn't performing for Manchester United, so it makes sense to loan him out. Yeah. He rejoins with Romelu Lukaku as well.
Yeah.
And
they're making moves.
The thing with Inter's really pushing for hardware this year, which is nice to see. You always love to see more competition in other European leagues other than the Premiership and La Liga.
Especially because those teams Serie A are trying to trend the direction of Liga or Bundesliga, where the same team wins every season.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, is that really going to happen with every league? Because the disparity between the richest clubs and the least seems to get bigger. So is there going to be a point where the same clubs win every season? Because it feels that way. Because Serie A, Juventus is poised to be there.
I'm starting to think maybe something you do is you start giving the lower level teams some more funding. Not too much, but you give them more funding to start building their teams to mix things up. Because obviously being a fan of, let's say, Leeds, it's
we'd be pretty loyal.
You'd be real loyal. And it'd be kind of depressing because, there's no hope of really winning the Premiership.
Yeah, well, they're not there yet because they fell off a while ago.
Yeah, but, they were pretty decent.
They were.
But they still had no chance of getting the Premier League title.
Well, in this case, current, let's just say, Burnley or something. Because they're not going to win the Premier League.
They're not going to win it, but, you see them, they're a talented side. You'd love to see them. They perform well, kind of like Wolves did at the beginning of last season.
We can say Wolves, although they get a bunch of money, and they bought it a bunch of Portuguese people.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see someone other than the top six flight win for once.
So, Inter made a nice move. The loan deal made sense to me. Because Alexei is not going to play, and they're probably going to play in there. They need wingers. So
the one thing that seems a little bad for the move for Man United is they're paying 75% of his salary. They're paying, I think, close to 350,000 euros.
That's what they get. They pay 500,000.
Yeah, 350,000 euros per week.
Yeah.
For a player who's going to be playing for Inter. And Inter's only paying $150,000, which is still a lot of money.
Yeah, he's still your player. So technically, I mean, do have an obligation to pay him.
Yes, normally you do have the obligation to pay him, but normally when you go on loan, you think it's normally split like 50-50.
Yeah. But I mean, Inter weren't allowed to pay that much for a player they're not even using.
No.
That's probably what they negotiate. Like, why are we going to pay him? You're not even playing him.
You don't need him. You're not using him. So there's no reason for us to be paying that much for him.
Another Man U player went out on loan to another Serie A team. This time, center back Chris Smalling. Not a huge move. I mean, Roma were looking at a lot of Premier League questionable center backs for some reason, like Dejan Lovren and Chris Smalling. I don't know why they were looking at them, but I guess they just wanted a Premier League center back.
Yeah, and
maybe a physical one, because that's something I see between both of them. They're both like tall, stronger players.
Yeah, someone who could be like an enforcer kind of.
Yeah.
Really something you are questioning is Man United's transfer. They got Daniel James. He came in. He's performing quite well, actually. Yeah. He's scoring some really nice goals.
He scored a really nice goal today, but unfortunately, they're only able to draw again.
Yeah. Everyone was saying they're going to sign like a Galactico, something like that.
Yeah.
They're going to have a massive transfer thing because they're going to sell Pogba. They're going to get a lot of money. And then there are reports they only have $150 million to spend without selling people because they pay so much in wages to players that don't really perform.
Yeah.
And they really just weren't willing to let Pogba go, and that's just contributed to them not being able to sign any fantastic players. Obviously, Wambasaka is a really good young player.
A lot of players rejected them too. Like Christian Eriksen didn't want to go there. Didn't want to go there.
A lot of players also don't want to go there because they see how really – falling
what
apart.
Happens like Sanchez,
like a lot of players, they're like in their primes playing well, they go to Manchester United, they fall apart and they stop performing altogether.
Or sometimes the system's just weird, especially because they're switching managers so much so many times.
Yeah,
like at some point, like
they haven't been able to settle
season,
in since,
yeah, with
since
Jose Mourinho,
Ferguson,
Martial had a great season 15-16 and 16-17, and then Mourinho comes in 16-17. Then he, the first of all, he signs Zlatan. He takes his number 9 without even his permission. They just took his number 9, and then they don't play him anymore. It's just.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And then Bruno Fernandes to Real Madrid is a possibility for a transfer.
Over the summer. I mean, that'd be
Real Madrid really haven't been performing to the standards that everyone was expecting them to after the big transfer window with Hazard. Mendy, and a bunch of other midfielders and stuff like that.
Also Rodrigo, who they signed with at the same time as Vinicius, finally came in too. They signed a bunch of players. It just doesn't seem like it's working out.
Yeah, it doesn't. They have a lot of expectations, and it doesn't seem like it's working out. And you hate to see it because you know Zidane is capable of like quality things.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard to see someone.
I think they need some stability. A lot of players going in and out, systems changing.
They need a player that's consistently playing, not always getting injured, kind of like Ronaldo. Obviously, no one's going to be the playing level of Ronaldo, but they need someone who's not consistently being injured and
like
missing
Bale,
games.
Yeah. Or
like
or,
Bale.
Or consistently playing, or performing consistently like Benzema. Hopefully,
at least,
can be that when he comes back.
At least performing consistently. Not like it doesn't have to be fantastically, but at least like you're not playing absolutely shockingly. Like you're making good passes, you're performing to the standard that you're expected to.
Yeah.
Not necessarily scoring every single game. Obviously, scoring and assisting would be nice, but like someone who's just making impacts, showing effort, giving hustle, physical is really what Real Madrid need. They have the talent, they just really don't have the effort or the hustle.
Yeah, I think they just need to get their stuff together and get it. Because they're so much stronger.
And
they just
need to start functioning as a team more. Like, they need to go do some team-building exercises.
Yeah, they do.
Like,
they need to, like, settle down and, like, get the team together.
They need to get their egos in check, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah. That's all for episode 17 of Sportsport Podcast. Thank you for listening in. We have... you guys can contact us through social media, through Anchor, and really just feel free to let us know any messages you may have for us or any topics.
Some ideas.
New ideas, topics, discussion points.
We also have a YouTube.
We also have a YouTube channel. Go check that out. It's just same handle as this, just Sportsport Podcast. It's small clips from these episodes put in just easier for your following for the most relevant topics of that week. We love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.